The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I'm glad to be back. It's been a couple weeks since I've been here. And I don't know if you remember, but when I was here before, we were talking about working with thoughts, both working in thoughts and meditation and working in thoughts and with thoughts in daily life. And the last time I spoke, I didn't quite get to finish what I wanted to do for working with thoughts in daily life. So I wanted to pick that up today. At first, I thought it might be helpful for me to just kind of briefly review the key themes I talked about in terms of working with thoughts in daily life. So there's a little bit of context and continuity with the practice and what I'm going to talk about today. So in terms of working with thoughts in daily life, there's a couple of key pieces, and the first one is around beginning to recognize or distinguish, discern whether the thoughts that are happening in your mind are skillful or unskillful. And by this, I mean, the Buddha means, which thoughts in our minds lead to suffering or affliction, either for ourselves or others. Those are unskillful thoughts. Thoughts in our mind that lead to happiness, to non-affliction, those are skillful. And so it's an observation process. It's a reflection. It's a process of reflection, of looking at our thoughts and seeing, if I follow through, if I act on that thought, is it going to cause harm? Is it going to cause anyone suffering, either myself or others? Certain kinds of thoughts also, I mean, if you're kind of engaged in certain kinds of thoughts, I mean, whether we act on them or not, like judging thoughts, for instance, if we're continually judging people and we're believing it and buying into it and kind of engaging in that pattern in our minds, it tends to wear the groove in our mind of aversion. And so that, in a way, it harms ourselves to be thinking that kind of thought, because it sets the conditions in our minds for aversion. It sets the conditions for us to be reactive to things in an aversive way. So recognizing, even if it's not outwardly harmful, it may reflect back on our own minds and be inwardly harmful, or cultivating conditions that lead us towards more suffering, more affliction. So in terms of this skillful and unskillful thoughts, one of the ways I suggested approaching this, thinking about this, was through the Buddha's guidelines on wise speech and thinking of our thoughts as internal speech. So I kind of collapsed this down into three reflections. Is my thought true? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And to use that as a kind of a reflection for us on whether the thoughts that we're thinking are helpful, skillful. Now, you know, in terms of these thoughts, and you know, the mind produces thoughts, right? I mean, you know, we don't necessarily have control over what thoughts come up in our minds. And yet if we're mindful, we at least have some option to choose whether we pick that thought up and continue to think about it, continue to invest energy into that thought with additional thoughts. So the practice, or this part of the practice around this, is to just begin to recognize, okay, there's a thought. Do I want to continue in that vein? This is about becoming mindful of what our thoughts are, noticing our thoughts. And if we notice thoughts that are not so helpful, can we let those go? Can we not continue to engage in that? Now, this probably means coming back to looking at our the underlying emotions that may have generated the thought, or looking at the emotions that have been triggered by a thought. So a self-judging thought, for example, you know, a self-judging thought might come up in the mind, kind of almost out of habit. At least in my own experience, I saw, you know, these thoughts, you're no good, you're a failure, you could do better than that. All those kinds of self-judging thoughts were kind of habitual for me. And I might have been fine. I might, you know, nothing particularly was going on. But, you know, something happened and this thought came up. And then there would be some energy invested in that, a belief in that thought. And then the emotion would pull me down. So if those the connection between a thought and an emotional response is pretty quick. And so part of the work around making thoughts conscious is learning how to feel, recognize, understand the impact that our thoughts have on us. And instead of investing energy in the thoughts, turn towards the impact that the thought has had. And so the thought, you're no good, comes up, and there's a kind of a heaviness that comes into the body. Just turning to that as opposed to investing energy into that thought. Even the thought, even countering thoughts that say, no, you're okay, you're going to be okay. You know, that's kind of like fighting that energy, almost trying to talk yourself out of it in a way. So in my own experience, I've seen it's most helpful to just, oh, there's that thought. Okay, what's the impact of that thought been? Now, there are times it is helpful to counter unskillful thoughts with more skillful thoughts, and this is actually one of the techniques that the Buddha taught about working with thoughts, to kind of replace a thought of ill will with a thought of metta. But that replacement itself can't be done with aversion to the thought of ill will, because if that's the motivation for the thought of kindness, then you're cultivating that ill will. So it has to be an acceptance of the thought, an acceptance of the... If you're going to use replacement, there needs to be a kind of an acceptance. Yes, that's come up in my mind. And it's more helpful to turn my attention towards thoughts of kindness. So that kind of approach, a more gentle approach to replacing thoughts. So looking at whether our thoughts are true, are necessary, are kind, and beginning to look at the impact that thoughts have on us. Actually, it's quite amazing how quickly thoughts impact us. And we're going to do an exercise about this in just a few moments. So the key, I think, with mindfulness of thinking has to do with this recognition of how thoughts land and what happens to us as we think. This will provide a lot of information for us if we can check into our bodies. Is there a contraction as a thought comes in? You know, the contractions are often a kind of a warning signal for us. So if there's a contraction coming in, it may be worth noticing that contraction. And okay, is this thought somehow connected with this contraction? Is there something I need to pay attention to here? So learning how to attend to what's happening to us while we think, that's a great skill to learn. And it's not so easy. I mean, in our sitting practice, we basically practice letting go of thoughts a lot. You know, we notice there's a thought, we come back to our breath. We notice there's a thought, we come back to our breath. So one way, actually, to begin mindfulness of thoughts is rather than quickly letting go of the thought and just saying, oh, thought, bad, breath, good, you know, instead of having that kind of relationship with thought, is to notice when you're thinking and take a few moments to hang out and recognize, I've woken up into thinking. How has that thinking impacted my experience? So see if you can let go of the actual thoughts, but turn towards the experience that has happened particularly in the body. You know, what has been happening to you? So, you know, you're sitting in meditation, paying attention to the breathing. The breath is pretty calm. And then you, you know, out of that calmness, there's a kind of a drifting off. You start thinking about what you were doing yesterday afternoon, taking that lovely walk, and then remembering that on that walk there was something that happened that disturbed you. And maybe at that point you wake up, you remember, oh, I'm meditating. Instead of just immediately coming back to the breath, taking in what has happened. So there's been that recollection of something that has disturbed you. How has that impacted you? Has there been some kind of contraction or tension or fear or anxiety that has come up? So beginning to acknowledge the relationship between thoughts and emotions, thoughts and bodily responses in our sitting meditation. So this is a place where we can begin to practice. I think the last time I talked about this, I also gave an analogy about practicing that, actually mindfulness of thinking, especially in daily life, I think daily life practice in general is really, it's a really hard practice. You know, it's not so easy to remember to be mindful when we're in the midst of activity, in the midst of engagement. We can't abandon thoughts, we can't abandon the content of our thoughts in daily life the way we do in our sitting practice. And so it's really the most challenging place for us to be mindful, to be able to have this continuity of attention. And I gave an analogy about practicing basketball. You know, if we want to learn how to play basketball, we don't learn by putting ourselves into the middle of a professional basketball game. That's kind of just, we're just going to get run over. Instead, we learn by practicing first by ourselves. You know, we practice the moves, we practice shooting, and then maybe we bring a friend in and we practice some drills, and then we bring in a practice team and practice some formations. And then maybe we play a game. So there's a lot of steps to get there before you actually move into a real game. And it may be, you know, years before anybody would actually move to a professional game. So, you know, we expect, if we're wanting to cultivate a skill in this along these lines, that it's going to take time, it's going to take practice. And it's very similar with our meditation practice. To learn the skill of being mindful in daily life, it takes practice. And it's helpful to have structure, kind of like the structure of the basketball games, the practice in basketball. It's helpful to have some structure. So the sitting meditation is, I guess, our ultimate structure in our practice, the sitting and the walking meditation. You know, we can use the sitting meditation as a place to begin exploring, how can I be mindful of thinking? How can I be mindful of the impact that thinking has on me? And then moving into perhaps some other kinds of exercises where we are more consciously bringing thought in, reflective practices, where we bring thought in and notice, how does this thought impact me? How can I begin to think and recognize the content and how that content is impacting me? And that's primarily what I want to do today. I want to go through a couple of exercises with you, a couple of practices with you that you can use, that you can actually take and work with. So the first one is really simple. And basically, I think I'll start first by talking a little bit about the practices, these reflective practices. So the basic reflective practice is about allowing yourself to be in a kind of a meditative space. So it's connected with our sitting practice. So allowing yourself to be in this meditative space, and then bringing up a thought. So it's helpful actually to pick a topic for reflection before you move into this practice, so you know what you're going to reflect on. So you could formulate a sentence or pick a phrase or pick a word that you want to see how you resonate or how this word impacts you or this phrase or thought impacts you. And then letting yourself settle first in meditation just for a couple minutes. Just let your mind get a little quiet. And then bringing the phrase or sentence or word into your mind. And then basically seeing what happens. So not continuing to think about that thought, but just noticing as you bring something into your mind, how does it impact you? Observe what happens in your experience. So this is beginning to allow a kind of an intuitive understanding to emerge about a topic. Rather than actively thinking about it, we're kind of tapping into some other channels of understanding, of learning, of wisdom that are in our system. So, you know, you might, I kind of think of this as there's kind of like different channels of way we get information when we put a thought into our minds. And the first is the body, that there may be an impact that this thought has on the body. The body may feel light or expansive, or it might contract, there might be tension or tightness, there might be vibration or agitation in the physical agitation in the body that arises. Another channel of information is emotion. So you putting a thought into the mind, emotion might come up. Peace or kindness or metta or agitation or frustration or irritation might arise as a result of dropping a phrase into your mind. The other is thought. Thought can produce thought. This may occur as images. It might occur as other thoughts that you're, other, like you're talking to yourself or like somebody is talking to you. It might occur as a kind of a kinesthetic thought. So it's helpful, you notice how it's impacted you. And it's helpful to not necessarily follow along and think about the impact, but rather just be mindful of it. Now, this is the basics, right? We're talking about basic practices here. Just beginning to understand how thinking impacts you so that this training can support you in the more engaged environment when you're talking to your boss or talking to your partner about something that's kind of charged. So in this practice, we drop the phrase in, notice how it impacts us. Just hang out with mindfulness, with the impact that this phrase or thought has had. And then a few minutes later, maybe a minute or two later, we drop the same thought in. So a couple of times you might drop that thought in and just notice what happens. So I'm going to give an example about a reflection that I did. And tell you kind of how the various pieces arose for me to give you a sense of what might happen. So in this reflection, this was a retreat I taught last week. We were exploring various aspects of the Eightfold Path, and one of the aspects of the Eightfold Path being how has our view or our understanding shifted, so right view is the factor we were discussing, and how has our view shifted since we've begun practicing? And so the teacher leading this particular session offered the reflection first, reflect on what was your life like before you found this practice? And then the second question was, and how is your life now? What is your life like now, having found that path? And so I did this practice, this reflection along with the group. And with that first question, I dropped the question in three times. And each time I got a little bit different information from a different channel, let's say. So the first time I dropped in the question of what was my life like before I found the path, of practice. The first thing was strong bodily energy. There was a lot of agitation, the physical, chaotic energy. Kind of like, I recognized, it's like, yeah, this is what it used to feel like. This is what my body used to feel like. There was a lot of physical, chaotic energy in my body before I found the practice. Then after a while, dropping the question in again, there was emotional information. Confusion arose. Sadness. There was actually tears streaming down my face. Again, it was kind of like a reliving of what it was like before I found the practice. The third time, there were some thoughts. Memories arose as images of things I had done before I found the practice. And they were physically violent actions that I had engaged in. Harsh expressions, physical expressions of anger. And there was also a thought that was a little bit of an understanding, not so much a memory, but just kind of an understanding. Somehow through all of this information, there was the recognition and the framing of what I was looking for before I found the path was for somebody to rescue me. I was looking for somebody to fix me, to save me, you know. That's what I was looking for. Then we came to the second part of the reflection, and what was the life like, my life like after I found the path. The bodily energy, the first time, the bodily energy was very settled. It was very calm, stable, felt really solid, kind of like I was rooted into the earth. And then the next time, I don't know, it happened this way, that it was kind of physical, emotional thoughts. Both times it followed that trajectory for me. I'm not saying that that's the way it should happen. That's just what happened for me. The second time the emotions came up of open-heartedness, of joy, of connectivity, of happiness, of compassion, those emotions were apparent the second time I dropped in that thought. The third time the thoughts... a thought came up, something along the lines of contentment comes from stability of mind, not from turning to look for happiness from others. So for me, this was a kind of a reflection of, you know, it was a reflection on right view. And so how had my view shifted? It had shifted dramatically from looking for happiness out there to looking for happiness in terms of stability of mind. So that kind of, you know, looks at the different channels, the different ways we can get information. So largely, you know, this is about, this practice is about turning to look at how your body is responding, how your emotions are responding to thought. So let's do a little exercise here. So we'll start with just a minute or so of just allowing you to settle in. And instead of you picking a reflection, I'm going to offer the reflections for you. So you don't have to worry about thinking about something in advance. And basically I'm going to drop in a word, and we'll work with that word for a few times. And then I'll pick another word. So I'll give you two different words to notice how they impact you. So allowing your body to settle much in the way you do in meditation. Maybe taking a couple of breaths. And after a minute or so, I will offer you a word. struggle. 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 Patience. 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 So I want to find out what you noticed in that little brief reflection.
So I noticed that I was already struggling with a thought when you first mentioned struggle. In fact, throughout the half hour of meditation this morning, I was struggling with thoughts flying through my mind. But I noticed that when you mentioned the word struggle, I got more tense and created a more difficult struggle around what I was thinking of than I had before. When you mentioned patience, my mind went to a project I've been working on that I've been unusually patient with myself about and enjoyed a lot. And I could feel my shoulders and back relax some when I thought about patience.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
With the struggle, the first thing that arose was this gasp for air. And then the second time, I felt the contraction. And then the third, my mind just got kind of bright. And then with patience, it started with a bright mind. And then a relaxation in my body. and then it opened with this expansive feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, right there.
There was a lot of confusion about the exercise, doing the exercise with both words, just internal confusion about how do I do this, what do I do next, and some questions about whether what I was experiencing was correct or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At struggle, first I did feel some kind of sensations like twisting in my abdomen area.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what happened the second time. There was some thinking that went with it and trying to recall struggling. The third time, I had the very clear thought and a very strong emotion, a reaction, that in this struggle are all my possibilities. It was a very fortifying,
uh-huh.
emotionally fortifying
uh-huh.
feeling.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So that an energy or some kind of efficacy that happens in struggle. Uh-huh.
That struggle is good.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Positive things
can come out. Yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Patience. I don't recall what I.
Uh-huh. 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 So just a couple of pieces around the. You know, you asked about, am I doing this right? There was a little confusion around that. You know, what I find with this is, you know, the word drops in and then something happens. And there's no right or wrong. It's just how that word is impacting you. You know, the very first time I tried this exercise, I was wanting to understand or explore the benefits of ethical conduct. So I dropped that question into my mind, and what arose was loneliness. And I was like, what does that have to do with anything? But, you know, I had just learned this, okay, well, loneliness arose, and I just kind of went with it and just felt that. And, you know, over the course of a couple of weeks, I kept on exploring this theme. And over a couple of weeks, after a couple of weeks, I looked back on my explorations, because another way to work with this is picking something to explore over a longer period of time. And after you have done this short reflection, then to take some notes. Take some notes about what you noticed. And that's how I even remember this, because I took notes. So I went back over these notes, and in reflecting on those notes a couple weeks later, I realized, oh, loneliness is a sense of isolation that happens when I'm disconnected, and this not engaging in ethical conduct is a disconnecting thing. And so that was the first kind of piece, and it wasn't obvious to me initially what the connection was. So after some time of reflecting back, I understood that piece. So really it is just, there's no right or wrong. It's just, how does this word impact you here and now? And take that as information. It's just information. So, yeah, Dan.
The first time you said the word struggle, my awareness went sort of into the middle of my body, and I just had this, sometimes I experience my mind down in my abdomen a little bit, and it's the sort of physical and mental experience that I'm very familiar with. It's a little bit like, you know, curling up in the fetal position with a blanket over your head, and say, no. I'm just like, oh, this is this place where I just feel like I can't say yes or no to life.
Hold the mic up.
What? Sorry. And then the second time you said the word, I realized that what was happening was that I was hearing it as an instruction. Struggle. You, struggle. And that the reaction I was having was, no, I don't want to struggle. Uh-huh. Thank you very much. I refuse. And I sat with that. And then the third time you said the word struggle, I realized it was a good instruction. And that there are things I do that, I mean, I've been sitting here this morning just, when you said we're going to do this exercise, I thought to myself, no, I'm afraid I'm going to have to decline. I'm too perturbed. And I realized that, so the, then the third time you said it, the experience I had, the response I had was, okay, I'll struggle, if that's what's called for.
Uh-huh.
If that's
uh-huh.
what's needed, I will struggle.
Uh-huh.
And then my response to patience was not as noticeable, but it sort of was like a little bit sort of settling into that, the patience to struggle.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's great. Thank you. So I just want to, I want to go on to another exercise, so I want to stop this conversation, but I just want to point out to you, or just ask first, how many of you had a response to the words?
Proliferating thoughts.
Around
the concept.
Uh-huh. So most of you had some kind of response, and I just really want to point out here, you know, this was a word. It was one word I dropped in. And look what happened. I mean, different responses from different people, but it was one word. That's how powerful thoughts are. They're very powerful. And so it's really worth getting to know how our thoughts impact us. I mean, we think words all day long and we don't notice how they impact us. So this kind of reflective practice can be used in many different ways. Now, so like I said, you can pick a topic or a sentence, you know, something that you're interested in exploring, the content of. I mean, we're talking about content here. We're talking about exploring content. So like I had picked that, I was interested in thinking about ethical conduct. And so I chose that as a reflection over a period of a couple of weeks. What are the benefits of ethical conduct? You might reflect on a Dharma theme. If you want to incline or orient yourself to impermanence, you know, you could drop in the word impermanence and see what happens to incline your mind towards a Dharma theme. If you have a decision you need to make, you know, between different options, you can use this as a way to get kind of different information about a decision. So, drop in to your mind one of the choices. And see, how do you respond? What's the response to that? And then after a little while, drop in the other choice. You know, kind of envision the other choice. Not to think about it so much, but to just kind of see what comes up. It's kind of like another analogy I sometimes use about this kind of practice is that it's as if we have a still pool. So we start ourselves in a still pool and we drop something in. And then what we notice are the ripples. So what are the ripples from a particular situation. Another way or an extension to this kind of practice is to do a kind of a reflection on something that's been challenging. And this is another place where we take a little bit more of a step towards working with thinking and emotions in our daily lives. So often in our daily lives, we end up kind of moving pretty quickly, and we're in the midst of reactivity and emotional response before we really have a chance to be mindful. And afterwards, we're driving home in our car, and it's like, oh, wish I hadn't said that. Wish I hadn't done that. Wish I'd been able to be more mindful. And so we can use a kind of reflection around that situation to learn from it. And potentially to be able to maybe meet that situation more skillfully in the future. And so this is a kind of a reflection where we think about something. I'll guide you through it. But basically, I want to start by having you just now, before we move into it, take a moment to see if you can think of something that's happened in the last week or two where there was some kind of struggle for you, recalling a situation of some kind of struggle. Just picking one so that you have that in your mind as we move into this reflective practice. So I'll give you about a minute or so to think about that. And so letting go of that now, just come into a settling of the body and the mind. Taking a couple of breaths. So allow yourself to call up this situation and just allow yourself to kind of almost reconstruct the event in your mind, in your imagination. Not adding anything to it or proliferating around it, but just remembering where you were, who you were with, what was happening, any moods or emotions you were feeling. Any things that were being said. Again, just coming back to the actual event. And as you create this recollection, notice how this is impacting your present moment experience. Check into your bodily experience. How is it affecting your body? Are there emotions or moods that are coming up? And what kinds of thoughts are coming up? Not so much tracking or following the thoughts, but just noticing what kinds of thoughts are coming up. See if you can just keep coming back to the memory. The specifics of what happened and noticing how it impacts you here and now. See if you can bring an interest to the exploration of your experience. It's an opportunity to learn. So see if you can let go of self-judgment, resistance. And keep coming back to your experience here and now. How is this recollection impacting you here and now? See if you can identify some aspect of this experience that you might be able to learn from. In your present moment experience, how you're responding here and now might be a guide to this. at this point, let go of the imagination of this specific event and allow yourself to reflect on how you might see this experience through a Dharma perspective. How might the mindfulness practice support you in this situation? How might a Dharma perspective have support you? Think in terms of impermanence, and causes and conditions. Non-identification. Skillful and unskillful. Notice how the body and mind feel while you reflect on this as well. And now, reflecting, thinking about how you might talk about this situation from the perspective of your process rather than the content of the situation. What happened to you, how you responded. What inquiry it brought up. So this last part of the reflection of can you, you know, think about this from the perspective of process rather than content, this is actually a helpful piece to get a skill in. And to support your understanding of this piece, I'm going to give you an example from my own, from a reflection of my own. Where I did this reflection and what happened for me. So I was reflecting on just this kind of thing, a struggle, and it was a situation where I spoke unskillfully. And when I first recalled this situation, the feeling that came up was embarrassment. And as I felt the embarrassment, you know, I kept noticing, feeling the embarrassment, I felt defensiveness. And then as I noticed that, I realized that that feeling of defensiveness was really a common feeling that I have with this particular person. And that intrigued me. That interested me, that I noticed that there was this kind of common feeling. And it occurred to me it might be that out of that defensiveness is where this unskillful speech came from. So it occurred to me that in terms of being with this person in the future, tracking that feeling of defensiveness would probably be helpful. So, in my description of that, you know very little about what happened, right? I mean, I didn't give you any details about who it was, what was said, anything like that. But you know a lot about my process, a lot about what happened, what I understood, what I explored. This kind of reflection helps us to become our own teacher. So it's really helpful, a helpful skill to get familiar with. So we only have a couple of minutes, but I want to check in and see what happened for you, to see if there's any clarification I can offer on this reflection. Yeah, Victor.
notice that it it seems to go, for whatever reason, be able to impersonalize it and see if it's an aversive environment or whatever. What is meeting that? What is creating that aversive? What am I holding that is becoming in conflict? And it's usually something that it's a belief or desire or a me-centered notion of either how things should be, how I'd want them to be, how I don't want it to be. It's me, 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 me. And so by seeing that, it's just a projection of a notion of a sense of self. It sort of becomes abstract.
So does that help you then did that help you get a sense of a distance?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, you immediately see that it's just, it's not a big deal. that's typically what happens.
And one more.
I use various ways to get space, you know, like the thought of death, my death, the other person's death. And it really helps, you know, to get a lot of space. But still, there's something that lingers.
And in this exercise, what did you notice? Did you use that particular reflection in this exercise?
This and others.
Thank you.
Something's just still, you know, it's great, you know, it's great progress, but still there's something that lingers. There's a taste.
Yeah, I mean, it's a practice, you know, that we explore this over time. So I'm sorry we don't have more time to explore this. I actually have a handout with this reflection on it if you're interested in taking it with you to work with. I can let you have those if you wish, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks. I'm away again next week, but I'll be back in a couple of weeks. See you then.